come on in.
And now, back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
The kids love him.
And your host,
welcome to paradise,
Bill Frank.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to the Bill Frank Radio Show here on KVTA News Talk 1520. I'm bringing fresh perspectives to Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is business and politics. Each of my guests will share his or her perspective on one or the other of these subjects. My next guest believes that mainstream media is far too lenient towards the remarks made by President Barack Obama. While the media portrays President Obama as brainy and knowledgeable, my guests will show that much of what the president says is incredibly dopey, as he puts it. We'll discuss his latest book, That's a Crock, Barack. Fred Eckert is a former U.S. ambassador to Fiji, Tonga, Tuvalu, and Kiribati. He's also a former Republican member of Congress from the state of New York. He is formerly the United States ambassador to the United Nations Agency for Food and Agriculture. President Ronald Reagan once called him a good friend and a valuable advisor, a one-of-a-kind, a man of great experience and wisdom. Fred has written two books and numerous articles. His latest book, as I said, is titled That's a Crock, Barack. Joining us from the East Coast. Hi, Fred. How are you today?
Fine, Bill. Good to be with you.
Well, thank you so much for being with me, and thank you for the book. Got a chuckle out of reading it, and so many things that I want to bring up. But I want to start at the beginning because, you know, far from being stupid, President Barack Obama is politically astute. At the same time, some of what he says in public appears stupid. So what do you consider the dumbest thing that President Obama has said?
That's a challenging question. There's a lot to choose from. But I would have to say that my favorite is what he said on June 8th, 2008, when he went over the top in the delegate count. If you recall, when Governor Romney was obviously the going to be the nominee, and he gave a speech that night, none of the major media covered it. When Barack Obama did 4 years ago, they all covered it and gushed over it. And one of the things he said was, I am absolutely certain that generations from now we will be able to look back and tell our children that this was the moment when he went over the top in the delegate count. When we began to provide care for the sick and good jobs to the jobless. This was the moment when the rise of the oceans began to slow and our planet began to heal. Now, the media should have said, who but a delusional megalomaniac would profess to believe what Obama was claiming? I mean, we didn't begin to care for the sick until he got enough delegates. I mean, he never heard about hospitals, doctors, nurses, medicine. That's nuts. And saying that this was the moment we're going to provide good jobs for the jobless, well, I wouldn't want to square that against the latest jobs report. But he promised that he was going to do for us what God did for Noah, stop the water from rising. I mean, that should have been questioned. I mean, that was a signal that this guy is delusional.
Fred,
it's dumb. It's dopey.
2 points about that. First of all, it's political rhetoric, and with all due respect to you, because you are a former politician yourself, a lot of America and maybe even the media discount political rhetoric, number one. But number two, doesn't that really fall as more of a fault of the media today than it does of Barack Obama? Barack Obama, this is the United States, First Amendment. He can say whatever he likes.
Of course you can say whatever you like, which includes saying really dumb things.
Right.
But normally when you say really stupid things, it's labeled as such. But what happened here, when somebody was claiming that he had the power to stop the rise of the oceans, and by the way, until he got enough delegates, we weren't caring for the sick, that's nuts. You want another one?
Oh, yeah. Well, there are many from which to choose.
In Cairo, the media gushed over the fact that he spoke to a Muslim group, and they forget the fact that he made tons of historic errors in what he said, but he said, and mind you, just recently there was a news item about Iran sentencing a married father of two to death for the crime of converting from Islam. And none of the reporters went and threw up this quote to him. But he said, Islam has demonstrated through words and deeds the possibilities of religious tolerance. What? I mean, a cartoonist draws something they don't like and there's a death edict? What's that, religious tolerance? In many Muslim countries, it's a capital offense to convert. That's not religious tolerance.
No, it's not. My guest is Fred Eckert. He's author of the book, That's a Crock, Barack. And we're talking about some of the more interesting comments that President Barack Obama has made over the past 4 years. Let me throw one back at you if I can, Fred. This is one that I particularly like. In February of 2009, just after being installed as President of the United States, in an interview with Matt Lauer, President Barack Obama said, now I'm quoting, "And you know, a year from now, I think people are going to see that we're starting to make some progress." He's referring to the economy. "But there's going to be some pain out there still. I don't want this done, but in the next 3 years, then there's going to have to be a one-term proposition." Let me read that again.
Yep.
"If I don't have this done in 3 years, then there's going to be a one-term proposition." Now, one-term proposition is kind of ambiguous. It's vague, so I don't know how to interpret that. But
well,
clearly some people are saying,
I would interpret it the way most have, and that is that he was saying, boy, if I don't get this done, I probably won't be reelected. He hasn't got it done, and I don't think he's going to be reelected. That's one of the few things he's got right.
Well, so you're saying in this particular case he was prescient, and in other cases he's just been out and out stupid.
He said things right around that same time. He said, when I'm president, I will go line by line to make sure we're not spending money unwisely. I'll order top to bottom audit of government spending and eliminate government programs that don't work. Why didn't somebody go back and say, could you give me an example of one of the ones you've eliminated? And he repeatedly said that. He said that he would the budget would be balanced, that would be he'd reduce the deficit in half by the end of his first term.
Well, let me stop you, Fred. The budget, the Senate has not passed a budget in 3.5 years. They've not even put a budget forward in 3.5 years, despite
That's right.
the best effort of the House to do so. So, I want to come back to this January 29th in front of Matt Lauer on national TV and ask, based on what President Barack Obama said, and would you think that he would consider not running for reelection based on his comments in the 2009 interview?
Well, we know the answer to that. He's a declared candidate for reelection, and he's got the delegates, and he's the Democratic nominee. So what he says and what he does are two different things.
And so how is that different from other politicians, Fred? That's what I'm getting at, and thank you for leading me down the path. How is he different than other politicians? We, the populace, kind of look at politics and say it's a dirty business, and we heavily discount what politicians say. Here's yet another example of a politician standing up on national TV saying, if I can't get the job done with the economy, I'm not going to run for re-election, but he's running for re-election.
He didn't say he wouldn't run. He kind of hinted that he likely wouldn't make it. But, you know, we're reading his words differently, and they were, as you say, not crystal clear anyhow. But how is he different than others? He's different than others in that he's protected by the media time and time and time again. You know, a good example is that when 60 Minutes did that interview with him, Steve Croft, last December, in the course of it, Obama claimed that he was at least our fourth greatest president, possibly our greatest. He said that he was our greatest president with the possible exception of Lincoln and FDR and Lyndon Johnson. That's what he said. Now, he is vain enough and delusional enough to probably believe that. But CBS recognized that, you know, the American people don't react well to such braggadocio, and they edited that out. Now, they made the mistake of printing the transcript, so we know that he said it and that he was protected on it. But he's constantly protected. You know, just last week, or earlier this week, Monday, 40-some Catholic dioceses and institutions sued the Obama administration. You know, think places like Notre Dame, the Diocese of New York, the Diocese of Washington. And ABC and NBC said not a word. CBS devoted 19 seconds. Do you imagine what would have happened if they had issued a statement praising him? It'd be front page news. Do you imagine what would happen if they had ever sued the George W. Bush administration? You'd still be hearing about it. This is covering for him.
Well,
and it's unheard of. We're beyond the point of journalism into propaganda. And what Obama is remarkably good at because he is an incredibly good con artist.
Well, he's remarkably glib and remarkably erudite. My guest is Fred Eckert. Fred, this is not different. I'll take you back to Franklin Delano Roosevelt. We didn't know that he had polio until long after he was dead. I will take you back to the Kennedy White House. We didn't know that Kennedy had mistresses going through the Oval Office like a revolving door until long after he was dead. The media has always been complicit with presidents, and up to a certain point, up until Woodward and Bernstein and the Watergate incident, really the media was there to support the government's role, to support the government propaganda, if you will. How is it any different today? We're trying to get out of a recession.
The difference today is in that era, you're right, there's certain things were not covered. Both sides, of Republicans or Democrats, it was a journalistic practice. The difference is that today they do cover greatly one side in attempt to discredit while they attempt to protect the other. That's an enormous difference. That's an enormous difference.
All right. My guest is Fred Eckert. So, Fred, I want to switch gears just a little bit because we are in an election season right now. And I want you to comment about President Obama's political tactic of deflecting blame from himself and his record, and blaming other third parties. You know, when he first came into office, the economy was the result of President George W. Bush. Now that he is in 2010, we have a new Congress, and now things aren't getting moved through the Congress because it's a do-nothing Congress. And with the problems on Wall Street, of course, it was the greedy Wall Street bankers, many of whom, I might add, donated to his campaign. They were the reasons for it. It never seems to come back to the administration. So, you know, what do you make of this tactic, political tactic of deflecting blame from himself?
Well, you know, all politicians try to deflect blame from themselves and make somebody else worse than them. That's a fairly normal practice. He does it to the extreme, but the difference is, again, when he does it, the media acts as cheerleaders. You know, when he got bin Laden killed, the media focus was, you know, look at Obama got him killed, Bush didn't. And the fact was that even Panetta acknowledged that had they pursued the policies that Barack Obama had wanted in criticism of Bush, that they wouldn't have gotten bin Laden. So he didn't give Bush credit for that.
Well, now, in fairness, let me stop you right there, Fred, because in fairness, President Obama did say just, I believe this week, that the death of Osama bin Laden was a result of work that was started in the Bush administration and culminated in his. And it should also be noted, just for the record, that President Clinton had the chance to assassinate Obama long before 9/11. But he had the chance to take him out, and President Clinton chose not to do that. It was a conscious effort, and it was part of the record. But I want to come back, if I can, please, and again, talk about things that the president says.
Right. You're saying that he belatedly has acknowledged that Bush had a role. That's belated. You know, this was well over a year past.
All right, fair enough. I will buy that. I'm just saying there are so many other egregious things that we can talk about.
The truth is the killing of bin Laden was botched, because what we did, we captured his computers, which would have had valuable data on him, which did have valuable data on him, that could pinpoint where other members of the Al-Qaeda network were and could be traced down and killed. And we did not give the CIA and other intelligence operatives time to go through that and get that data off. What happened was Obama, seeking personal glory, ran to the cameras and announced that we had killed him. There was no need to do that. What that did is it signaled all the others to go flee and hide. That was a dumb move.
Dumb action, not necessarily a dumb statement. My guest is Fred Eckert. He is the author of the book, That's a Crock, Barack. And I find this interesting, Fred. You were friends with the late President Ronald Reagan. You know you're broadcasting into Ventura County. We're the home of the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library. What do you think Ronald Reagan would think of Barack Obama?
Not much. They have a very different worldview. And, you know, I'm not one of those who tries to speak for Ronald Reagan excessively. But I knew Ronald Reagan well. We were good friends. And I think he's not only a great person, but he was a great president. Barack Obama's not in that league at all. And a good example was in Obama's speech in Berlin. Remember when he went and campaigned in Berlin in 2008, and he stood and said that the Berlin Wall came down because the people of Russia in Eastern Europe decided they wanted the Cold War to end peacefully. You know, he said it was the work of many nations over many years, because this came down, the Berlin Wall came down because the world stood together. The world didn't stand together, not the world everyone else was living in. We were at war with the Soviets, Cold War, for 40 years. It was Reagan's strength that led to the collapse of the Soviet Empire. It wasn't the work of many people and many nations. It was the leadership of a few people who were strong. Ronald Reagan, John Paul II, Margaret Thatcher.
You'll get no argument from the people of Ventura County on that. My guest is Fred Eckert, author of the book, That's a Crock, Barack. Fred, you've got so many interesting things to say. If people are intrigued by what you have to say, they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, I'd go to, well, the best place to buy That's a Crock, Barack is to go to Amazon.com and the search, just put Crock and Barack, and up it pops.
Good. And if they want to learn more about you personally, do you have a personal website that you can direct them to?
Well, actually, my websites are devoted to photography. I have one called Ambassador Eckert Images, and I have another one called Eckert Images. I'm a photo buff. That's a hobby. And now I don't have a website of my own. I don't think there's that many people out there in the world that care all that much what I think.
What?
I think there's a lot of people who care about what happens to the country. And I think that there was a necessity to do this book to show that the media coverage of Obama's statements was always about the surroundings. You know, he spoke, look, there are pillars there. Look, there's a big crowd. Look, someone in the audience fainted. It was all that sort of nonsense. But as far as the substance of what he said, I mean, when he stood up at the Democratic convention and said, I am my brother's keeper, you know, nobody pointed out in the media at the time his brother was living in a 12-by-8 hut without running water, sanitation, or anything like that in Kenya, and on $10 a year, $12 a year, and had never gotten a dime out of Barack, while Reverend Wright had gotten $20,000.
Well, fair enough, and we're going to have to leave it there, Fred. My guest has been Fred Eckert, author of the book, That's a Crock, Barack. Fred, thank you so much for being my guest here on The Bill Frank Show. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, Bill.